With God's great help, about God's care for you and me. I'd like to begin by asking you a question. And I wanted to emphasize something just real shortly. I want you to, in your mind, tell me, how many hairs do you have on your head? Have you ever took time to count them? Is it really so important whether you have 10,000 or 6,000 or however many? I don't know. To some, maybe it's a little more important than others. But Brother Jim said it, God knows. But do you know how many hairs are on your head this morning? Well, listen to what the Bible said. Matthew 10 and 29 and 31. The care God has for us. Do you know sometimes we might see God great and powerful and awesome and fail to realize that He is so interested in us, in the details of our life, our upsettings, the downsettings, the things that occur to us that other people may not ever notice, that no one else could possibly relate to, that no one else would even consider it significant, that no one else would even give it, as the saying goes, the time of day. But God is aware of you and the me, of you and me, in the most minute of details, not only aware of us, but concerned and caring about us. I want you today and me today to the eyes of our spirituality to be opened, that we may comprehend more the width, the breadth, the height, the depth of God's love and God's care. You don't know how many hairs that you have on your head. You certainly don't know how many your spouse or your child or your friend has. And you're not too really concerned, if I may say that, about that little question. Listen to what he said. Matthew 10 and 29. And maybe by the end of this little lesson this morning, we might just, next time we see someone or we look at ourselves in the mirror, we'll just say, God surely loves me. God surely cares for me. The next time you go to comb your hair, or the next time you look at your friend and see their hair, may it remind us, God cares about me. Are not two sparrows, this is 10 and 29 of Matthew, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now that seems like an astronomical task, but God can do that. God can be fully aware of exactly the number of hairs that are on top of your head, on the side of your head, and on your sideburns. God is acutely aware of that. May that this morning inspire us to recognize that God is interested in every detail of our life. If He would, for lack of a better term, take the time to count the hairs on my head, He surely must be interested in everything else. As something really as, and I don't, you know, if you got a little hair loss problem, don't think it's insignificant, but something that may be as insignificant as the hair is on our head, and God is aware of that, surely these trials and these tests, the things that concern my heart, the things that concern my mind, the things that concern my soul, the things that concern the life events going on around me, if He is really and truly concerned about the hair on my head, and He knows how many I have, how much greater then does He care about those things that are affecting my joy, affecting my peace, affecting my family, affecting my home, our spouses? How much more is He concerned about that you and me have that abundant life that He came to give us? He said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you and I, saints, and this is what he's saying to us, are more valuable than many sparrows. Today, consider yourself valuable. Consider yourself very important to God. Consider yourself essential to God. And he loves and he cares. And he's numbered the hairs of your head. And he's compared you. He said, I see the sparrow when the sparrow falls. And he told you and me in life's difficulties, as we journey down this course called life, as we meet obstacles, as we meet things that hurt us, bring sorrow to our mind, that disappoint us, things that frustrate us, things that would rob us and steal from us, things that are just plain not fair any way you look at it. He said, don't you be afraid. Don't you be afraid of those situations or what they may bring. You are more valuable than that sparrow that I saw fall yesterday. May God help us this day to recognize our value to him. How much he earnestly cares for us. I know the hairs on our head are not so important, but I believe God is trying to get the message across to us in this scripture. Listen, folks, I love you. I care for you. You're important to me. And what happens to you happens to me. And when things affect you, I am affected by it. And when things concern you, I am concerned about it. I believe that's the message God wants us to get this morning, that he is crying out from heaven, I care for you. I love you. I'm your friend, and I'll help you. And what happens to you is important to me. Your friend may not understand it. Your spouse may not be able to equate to it. You may not be able to explain it to another person. And others might look on it and say, why does that trouble you? But God is saying, I see down in your heart, and I know the anxiety, I know the fear, I know the perplexity, I know the things you don't understand, I understand that you don't understand, and I care. And it matters to me. The little sparrow that fell, I had a fish die yesterday, folks. God saw that fish die. It was my angel fish. Had a leak in my aquarium. And I, you know, when you start traumatizing fish, they're apt to die. Well, my angel fish died. So what, huh? But God saw that angel fish die. He cares. He said, I didn't shed any tears over the angel fish, but I didn't want it to die. Do we understand God sees those little things that does not touch or matter maybe to someone else? But God is interested intently in your life. He knows that sin that you're so beset by. And he knows the fact that maybe others might say, well, why don't he just quit that? Why doesn't he just quit that? God looks down and he sees the stranglehold it got on you. And where others might run out of patience, he still offers you his blood, his mercy, and his love. Because I care for you. Because I want you to go to heaven. I really want you to be there. I really want you to come that where I am, you may always be. I really want you there. Therefore, I died for you. And others may be willing to write you off and say, it's a hopeless case, or they ought to know better. But I know the power of that gripping sin in your life, that unbelief, that fear. And I love you. And my son Jesus died for you, that that power might be broken in your life. Praise God, he cares for us. While we were yet sinners, he died. Can we imagine that this morning? It's hard for us to reflect on him wondering about how many hairs are on our head. Can we understand this morning he saw us in sin? And he said, I love them. And I don't want them to perish. And it breaks my heart. And they are steeped in sin and they can't get out. And I love them and I care for them. I'm going to die for them. I'm going to pay the price for them. And how casually we treat that sometimes. How unconcerned we seem to be Folks, we ought to be concerned that Jesus died for us. If you're a sinner today, you ought to be concerned and not let that mercy just go by you. We ought to be concerned that Jesus died. We ought to be concerned enough to do something. God help us. But He knows the hairs of our head. Well, folks, that's getting pretty personal. You know, I couldn't tell you how many hairs in a square inch of my head. God help us. I couldn't tell you how many hairs on the back of my hand, and there's just a few. But God knows. He's intimately acquainted with us, and He's concerned about us. I ask us another question. Would a king of a country, if we were Canadian or if we were English citizens, would the Queen of England care how many hairs are on your head? Would the President of the United States, would it matter to him? Would he care enough about you as an individual to say, I want to know them, that I can help them with the government in every way I can? Would he care? Would the Supreme Court care? But God cares. He set up ahead of that, I believe. He said, not to fear those that can kill the body. But He said, I'll tell you who to fear. The great judge, the King of Kings. And this one, He loves us. The small things about our life, God's interested in. He saw the little sparrow fluttered around, chirping, lighting in the trees, eating the seeds, drinking the water. And He saw that heart the last time it beat and fell to the ground. And He tells you and me, listen to this. Every one of us here today are more valuable than many sparrows. Thank God this morning for His love to us. In Zechariah, I'd like to read a scripture. Zechariah 2 and 8. I'd like to read just the last part of that verse. For he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. You know what the apple of his eye is here in this case? It was the way they used to, I suppose the English people, used to describe the eyeball. He that touches you, saints, people, those things that beset you or come against you, those things that perhaps you're struggling with, when that thing touches you in your emotions, in your heart, in your spirit, in your home, in your marriage, when those things touch you and cause pain to you, how sensitive is your eye? How sensitive is our eye today? It's something that is extremely sensitive. And what the Lord is saying, He that touches you, that's a sensitive place in my life. I care about you. I love you. And he that would do harm, he that would injure you, he that would perplex you, that which you don't understand, that would bring heartache into your life, that would cause your mind to be distressed. Listen, he's saying to us, that's just like touching the apple of my eye. It's sensitive to me. Can we see today? And can we accept it? And can we enter into the rest God has for us when we recognize that things that touch us, they're sensitive to God. And He's sensitive about us. That He is really touched by those things that touch you, those things that touch me. He said, He, and maybe we could say it this way, that thing that touches you, that brings a tear to your eye, is like touching His eyeball. That's how sensitive it is. I'd venture to say if any one of us got something in our eye, we'd probably go to work on it, wouldn't we? And we'd wash it out, and we'd get a little Kleenex down in there. We'd do whatever's necessary to get that out of there. Because it hurts. It's sensitive. It's important. You're important to God this morning. Every one of you. Young people, don't you think you're going unnoticed? You're very, very important to Him. He sees your young mind. He sees your disappointments. He knows those things that tempt you. He's aware of the things that are out there to try to trap you. He knows about those snares. He knows about those pitfalls. He knows those things out there, young couples, that Satan is just lying in wait to try you with. He knows, and he's sensitive to it, and he's a high tower, and he sees afar off. And if we will trust in him and rest in him, he will lead us safely through this life. And those things that touch us, he has that grace and that peace and that healing virtue that will come down and minister to every one of us. We can take our life and entrust it to him because he really cares. He really is sensitive to us. Satan, listen, he cares nothing about us. All he wants is to destroy us. This world, and don't take this wrong, but the world wants to use us. We are and I don't mean this in any way, but just factual. I don't mean it. Let me say it. The world sees you and me by and large as an account. Someone that they can do commerce with. I know there's good people. I know there's friendly people. But there's a limit to that. But God does not see us as someone for commerce purposes. He does not see us someone to destroy us with. We are not just a chart on Walmart's computer and a graph of spending habits of America and etc. We're more than a number. We are an identity before God. And he cares for us. He sees the sparrow. And we are more valuable than all the sparrows. He tried to relate it to us. He said, the very hairs of your head, I've counted them. I know you and I love you. Can't you grasp it, he's asking us, that how much I love you. Bring all your cares. Bring all your trials. Bring your sins and cast them on me. I was crucified that you might live and you might have life more abundantly. It's not my will that you perish. It's not my will that you trudge on in life. It's not my will that you carry a cross that's not yours. It's not my will that you're overcharged with sorrow or fears or doubts or unbelief. It's not my will that unforgiveness crowd out your joy. It's not my will that the perplexities of life rob you of faith. It's not my will. I care about you, and it's sensitive to me. And I hurt right along with you. I grieve right along with you. And I offer you hope and I offer you love. Listen, folks, had he not cared, he would have never wept over Jerusalem. He would have never cried over those people. He would have never said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He would have never shed those tears. They deserved, in a human sense, what they got. They brought it on themselves and they deserved it to that degree. But he wept because he knew what they were bringing on themselves. And he said, how oft I would have gathered you, O saints. Do we see the Lord wanting to gather us as a congregation? Do we see this God of heaven wanting to gather us as a family, as a husband, and as a wife? And oh, can we see him saying, oh, how oft I would have gathered you and given you my peace, given you my joy, given you my eternal life? Folks, if he had not have cared, he would have never wept. But he cared much for the people. And he knew what was going to happen. And it was hurting him. I believe it with all my heart. It was hurting the Lord Christ when he recognized those Roman legions would be circling that city. And they would defile the temple. And they would defile the people. And people would starve and some would become cannibals. I believe with all my heart his great heart was breaking and it was weeping there. He cares. He cares. He cares. What cross are you carrying today? What load are we bearing today? What peace are we forfeiting today? Because we fail to grasp fully the care that God has for us. Oh, I would have gathered you together, but you would not. He didn't want to leave the house desolate, but there was no answer to that. Oh, thank God this morning that when life touches us, it's touching Jesus and God's eyeball. Can we grasp that? That's what he's saying here. He that touches you. Young people, when you don't pass that test and it hurts you, it hurt Christ. When someone makes fun of you and you're embarrassed, Christ is embarrassed. He loves you. He relates to it. He was weary, worn, tried, and bore our many sins beside. When things happen to you and people misuse you, it hurts him also. And you know what? He offers his hand and His love and His mercy. When things don't go right, and they sometimes don't, it hurts Him also. Touching Him when it touches us. May we believe that this morning. It's big to us many times, the things that happen. And how many times have we wanted to unload on someone, but we know they wouldn't understand? And after we've done that, it still didn't fill the need. But God says to us, those things that are big to you, they're big to me. If they're hindering your progress, they're hindering Him. They're hindering His work in your life. Oh, saints, let's love Him. Let's recognize today that God cares for us, really without measure. Folks, if He knows how many hairs are on our head, I know He has to care about some other things in our life also. He has to care about everything. Over in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and perhaps the 15th verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Touched with the feelings of our infirmities, our Lord is. Can you imagine that a minute? If I was to ask us today, God would say to us, reveal your hearts, your perplexities. Maybe not everyone here, but probably a majority of us would have some revealing we could make about things that are troubling us. And they could be absolutely anything. And you might name off something and I'd scratch my head and say, why does that bother that person? And I could tell you what's troubling me and you'd say, well, I don't know why that's such a problem. We couldn't always relate to it. It couldn't be touched by it entirely. But listen to what he's saying. We have one, Jesus Christ the righteous, a high priest, able to intercede to God for you and me, that is absolutely touched. He didn't say with the infirmity, but the feelings of them. Do you see that it goes beyond just touch that you're sick, touch that you're hurt, touched that you're embarrassed, but he absolutely feels it. He feels it. I've got a headache. Well, most everybody here has had a headache, so you kind of know maybe I don't have one, but if I had one. Most of us have had headaches, so therefore you could relate to that. But maybe I could tell you of another problem I'm having, and you could say, well, I'm sorry, but you would not know my inner feelings because of it, because you just can't equate to it. But listen to what he said. He is touched by the feelings that the infirmity, the problem, produces. Now, that goes beyond anything we really can do for one another. He cares about us. He had to be able and willing then to take our pain. He had to be able to be a man of sorrows. He had to become acquainted with grief. He had to realize those things and become acquainted with them so he could be a merciful and faithful high priest and make intercession to God for us. We show God's care when we think about that. We see God's care, rather, when we recognize he wanted to be able to relate to us and say, all right, these people are tempted. What kind of feelings come along with the temptation? These people are hurt. They have sorrow. They have pain. They don't understand things. They're confused. What kind of feelings do they have to go along with that? It seemed to say God had to be able to come down and take on himself the form of flesh so he could be touched with the feelings that's produced by life. And that's important. So today, wherever we are in life, and life's touched you, oh, sometimes, yay, I'm glad I got touched by life. It's good. The ship came in and everything's great. But right along with those come other touches that go down in deep to our mind. They go down deep into our heart. And sometimes that heart breaks. And sometimes that mind is at wit's end. And sometimes we don't know of anyone that we could even talk to that would understand it. But we have a high priest. And that heart that's breaking, he feels it. That question that keeps rising up in your mind that no one can answer and the devil's using it against your soul, he feels what it's doing to you. He feels the impact of sin. He knows exactly how you feel under the guilt of sin. He knows and he is acquainted with the grief and the sorrow. And he's looked down on the world and saw the devastation that sin has wrecked in this world. And he knows what's going on in your mind. And he's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll just give you rest. Because I love you. I've already counted the hairs on your head. Don't you see I love you? Don't you know I care for you? As we journey through life, it produces effects. Things happen to us. Well, life's events produce feelings. And happiness, sorrow, anger, whatever. It produces. Life does that to us, does it not? Good and bad. And then those feelings, and herein comes a dangerous place. Those feelings have the authority left unchecked to start governing our life. They can begin to govern our actions. And they can produce things in us that sometimes aren't good. So I need, and you need, we need someone that will understand our feelings, that he can relate to us and we can relate to him, and that can bear those things, that we can give those feelings to, that they won't work their works in us. A hurt feeling, does it of itself produce good works? Probably not. Generally, it'll produce something like, well, I won't ever speak to them again. Or they don't love me. Or you just wait the next time, I'll show them. Feelings, we know, are not good counsel for life. We need someone to be touched with your sorrow and my sorrow. Did you know sorrow can cause you and me to draw up in a shell and never venture out into life again? I've been hurt, I've got sorrow, and I will not let it do that to me again when we cease to live. I've seen that happen. But you know Jesus is touched by that sorrow, and he knows the dangers of you being governed by those feelings, and he'll come down and minister to you, and he'll come down and bless. If we will take those feelings, if we will take those feelings and give them to him. Did you know when someone does us wrong, it wouldn't be unusual to have a feelings of vengeance, attempted by it? But do you know that if we're governed by it, it's going to produce terrible effects? So what we need is someone that can totally equate to my feelings of I've been wronged. And then give them to him. And say, Lord, I give it over to you. Because I don't want this feeling of being done wrong to govern my life. But I want to go on with Jesus Christ. So he said, oh, I love you so much, give me those feelings. Because I can equate to them. And that thing has touched you, but it's also touched me. And it's hurt you. Now it's hurt me. But I am God. I can do all things. Give those feelings to me. Today, wherever we are, folks, with the feelings of life, we have a high priest that's already counted the hair of our head. Young children, young people, rather, big old world out there. And I want to tell you something. They got the glitz and the glitter, and they've got the billboards, and they've got the televisions, and they got the videos and the internet, and they've got the magazine ads to prove that they're just really having a good time. But David said something like this. About his feet, it almost slipped. But then he saw the end. I'm paraphrasing this, I know. But he saw the end of that thing. See, Satan doesn't show us the end. But Jesus was tempted. He can feel what you feel. Don't think it's too unusual to be tempted by that billboard going down the road. Or that advertisement for the latest movie out of Hollywood. Don't think it's unusual to be tempted. But if you let that temptation reside, if you let that feeling start governing you, it'll start warping your thinking. It'll start telling you, well, maybe it's not so bad after all. And it'll start diverting your attention from the highway of holiness right on to the highway of Hollywood. Take those feelings that you're being tempted by. Take those feelings that says, that looks like fun, and take them to Jesus. Because He can understand exactly what you're being tempted with. He can understand exactly what you're being tempted with by that whatever. It's when you and me fail to do this, fail to come to Him boldly, that we might have that intercession for us, that He might be a healer of our hearts, that we do ourselves intense damage. We do ourselves physical. We do ourselves emotional. And we can do ourselves spiritual damage when we fail to avail ourselves of a God in heaven who cares so much that He's even numbered the hairs of our head and He's told us about it so we might understand how much He really loves us. Sometimes we'll hold on to something when God is saying, please give it to me. Just please, please give it to me. I want you to be happy. Those tears are not for my children. Those anxious moments, that unbelief, that's not what I have for you. Please give that to me. I know what you're feeling. No one else does, but I know. I know. I know the distraught mind. I know the hopeless feeling you're going through. I know how glitter and glamour appeals to you. I know what you're going through. Please, please, come to me because I love you. I care about you. Sometimes children can get so upset with their parents. Oh, children, Jesus understands. And He doesn't want you to be governed by those feelings. But He wants you to bring them and give them to Him. I'm so glad that He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Our feelings can't be trusted. That's the reason we've got to bring them to the Lord. And we need to give them up. In 1 Peter... Five and six. Fifth chapter, sixth verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Then He gives us this. Casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Why should I do that? Why should I give God my anger? It's my anger. I got a right to it. Why should I give God my broken heart? It's my broken heart. My loved one's gone. Why should I give God my vengeance? It's my vengeance. And they did do me wrong. Because He cares for you. Because He loves you. Because He knows the end of it. Because He knows the unhappiness it's bringing now, the disappointment it's bringing now. He knows now the lack of fulfillment, that unfulfillment that sin is bringing in your life. So He said, why don't you just give it up and cast it on me? You know, is the word okay to use foolish? Help is right here, and we go on this way. It seems foolish to the rational mind. It seems foolish, but don't we all get caught in that little foolish trap sometimes? Of holding on to our feelings, to our emotions, when there's a great God who cares for us, who absolutely, absolutely loves us. And He tried to get the message across when He counted the hair on our head and said, I know how many you got. That's a lot of counting, folks. It's a lot of counting. Oh, casting all your cares. What do you care about today? What's got you perplexed? What's got you weighted down? What's got you worried? What's hindering your progress? What's warping your thinking? What's governing your actions? What's making your disposition the way it is? What's affecting you in a way that you're not happy with the way it's affecting you with? He said, whatever it is, cast it on me. I love you. I care for you. I've got something better. I want you to have abundant life. I want you to be alive. I want you to be living. I want you to be an example of what Christ, what my Son came to do. I want all the fullness of the Godhead to be in your life, working for you, dynamically alive for you. Oh, saints, let you and me be determined. When they arise, I'm going to cast them on the Lord. I'm not going to give them the time to work an ill effect in my life. I'm not going to allow pain or sorrow or grief. I'm not going to allow hurt feelings. I am not going to allow the temptations from a billboard. I am not going to let them come into my life and warp me and change me and dictate to me. No, no, 1,000 times no. But I'm going to take them and cast them on my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, because He loves me and He'll know what to do with those things and He'll know how to direct me over those and through those things. He will give me grace to overcome those things. He will love me. In spite of my feelings, He will love me in spite of my feelings. Now, you talking about taking a God, that would, wouldn't it? Because sometimes our feelings aren't too charitable. But He loves us. And He said, take that old feeling and give it to me because I care for you. And I've got something beautiful for you. I've got something beautiful for you. How do I know He cares? Because a couple of thousand years ago, He died a very terrible, terrible death. The innocent for the guilty. The righteous for the sinner. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't polite. It wasn't swift. And it wasn't deserved. How do I know He loved me? Because He died. How do I know He loved me? Because He suffered. How do I know He loved me? Because He loves me because and cares for me because He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did you know that prayer comes right down to today? When you and I let the cares overcharge us, they don't understand. They don't see the impact of that. Oh, if they can just come, if I can just get down there and help them, and He wants to, every one of us. You see, cares sometimes impact us and we don't see the end of that thing. All we see is the momentary hurt, the momentary gratification, the momentary frustration, the momentary sorrow for the time. That's what we see. But God's got greater eyes than that. And He can see what He has for us. And He can see the danger of letting that feeling go on in our life and being governed by it. Oh, this morning, He said to you and me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How do I know He cares? Because I still see the cross. In some ways, I can still see that sweat and that blood. And I can still see Him, His eyes, looking past and longing for their salvation. I can still see the stripes and the torn flesh. I can still see Him loving me on the cross. Oh, saints, let's take all our cares. It's not worth it. Absolutely no profit in taking a load of cares along with you. But I want to tell you something. We're human. Your preacher and every one of us are human. And if we're not careful, we'll get overcharged with the cares of life. And we may think of jobs and money, but folks, it's cares, period. Whatever it may be. And we get overcharged. And that seed that was planted will be choked out. We don't want that. We don't want the seed of God to be choked out of our life because that's our security. That's our salvation. That's our hope of eternity. But folks, we can get overcharged with any care there is. So Jesus, Peter wrote, cast them on Him, for He cares for us. He said to us, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you what you want. I'll give you rest. That old care is cut into your back. It's cut into your mind. It's cut into your marriage. Cut into your home. It's cut in fellowship. He said, I want you to give it to me. You're not having fun. You're not having fun carrying it. But you know what? We're strange creatures. Sometimes we'll just hold on to it in spite of it. Years ago, and a few years ago, someone wrote a song, and I tried to pin the words down this morning. And I may not have the words exactly right, but it's very close. Are you tired of chasing pretty rainbows? Are you tired of spinning round and round? Wrap up all the shattered dreams of your life, and at the feet of Jesus, lay them down. Give them all, give them all. Give them all to Jesus. Your shattered dreams, your wounded hearts, your broken toys. Give them all to Jesus, and He will turn your sorrows into joy. That's what He wants to do for every one of us. I don't know what battle you're facing. I don't know what care is really got you down, if it has. But I know this. If we'll give it to Jesus, the effects of that will be turned into joy where there's maybe sorrow, anger, or those things that's produced by it. So why don't we today just wrap it all up? Some of us maybe have more than one. To know that that one who counted the hairs of our head loves us. And He is saying to us, wrap up all your shattered dreams, your wounded hearts, your broken hearts, your broken ambitions, and just come down here to me, and I will give you rest because I love you, because you can tell me how you feel, and I'll totally understand it. And then for those wounds, I'll give you healing. For that old mourning, I'll give you the oil of joy. Just take all our old problems, our needs. I don't make light of them because they're very serious to you. And mine are very serious to me. And just lay them at the feet of Jesus. And say, Jesus, I'm tired. And you love me so much, I know it now. I know it now. And you've got something so much better for me than this broken heart, this wounded heart, this pride that's been damaged. Lord, you've got something. You care for me so much. I'm just going to cast all my cares on you. And folks, we'll start living. We'll start enjoying life. I want to tell you, the roses will start smelling better. The bird song will be so much sweeter. Coming to service will be a joy. The songs we sing in the hymnals will burst forth with new life. Our family will be dearer to us. This congregation will be dearer to us. Our parents we'll just see them totally different. When we take our cares and cast them on the Lord, you pray for me.